Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hour number two here on this Wednesday. Darren McFarland here. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Talked to this man for many, many years. And he does a fantastic job covering the NFL. He's NFL insider for SiriusXM. He's all over the place. Also talks fantasy. Does a lot of markets around the league, including in Philadelphia. He's Adam Kaplan. He now joins me. Adam, how the heck are you? Happy New Year.
Good to talk to you guys. Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking before we – I was listening to you right before we got on here. It's got to be easily 15 years that I've known you guys. I mean, it's – you know, I see you. Usually it's a Super Bowl. I hope to see you in L.A. I hope everybody's healthy. And, yeah, and if and by the way, I have a Twitch channel. I did hear you talk about Twitch, the Adam Kaplan Show, and I have a new deal with Amazon Prime. So I am actually going to do a game – on my Twitch channel, we get, it'll be off of Fox, I believe. They've not told me which game I'm getting, and I've done the Thursday night package, you know, on my channel. It's pretty cool. The Adam Kaplan Show is my channel, so follow me on there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for passing along. I do remember, in particular, one Super Bowl. Yes, we have caught up for many Super Bowls over the years, but I remember the one down in Miami, which ended up being the rainy Super Bowl between the Colts and the Bears. Yeah, awful, awful game. But they do the big media party, and their media party was on South Beach, which was, you know, you would expect that from Miami. It was crazy, crazy.
And if you remember that game, I don't know where you sat, but I had to sit in the auxiliary press box, which is in the stands, and it rained, and I left. I left at halftime. I'm like, I don't need this, you know. So I didn't have to go to the locker room, and obviously now as we move things forward, we know there's no locker room access anymore around the National Football League, unfortunately.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, I left on Saturday afternoon. My flight was delayed coming back to Nashville. I didn't even go to the game. I was done. I was down there for a week, and I'd had enough. I was ready to come home. I'm sitting in the airport. My flight is delayed, and I'm sitting there just at a table. And the guy sitting next to me, and I had something that had Nashville on it, and the guy struck up a conversation with me. And we sat there. His flight was delayed because he ended up being on the same flight as me. We sat there and talked for a good while. It ended up being an agent, a sports agent, who lives in Nashville, and we forged a relationship and kept in touch for a long time after
that. Which sport is the guy an agent for?
Well, he had many, many players. And by the way, that was what was surprising me. He had many players on both teams, the Bears and the Colts.
Oh, is the guy still doing it?
Yeah. You know, we lost touch over the years, but for many, many years we stayed in touch. And honestly, Adam, I haven't talked to him in years, so I don't know. I don't know.
You want to say the name, or do you feel comfortable saying the name?
Nah, we'll leave that out.
Tell me off the air.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun, and that's why I'll never forget it, because it was just a random deal that ended up turning to a nice little relationship there for a while, and I'm sure have stories like that all the time.
Yeah, so. I do. What it is yes, you never know who you're going to come in contact with. Airports, I play a lot of tennis. I've run into some celebrities playing tennis. Just a weird, our business, as you know, in the media business, you just never know when you travel. And also, like you said, when you're waiting for a flight. I mean, I remember in Philly, Howard Katz was the schedule maker for the NFL. He used to work out of NFL Films. He still might. And anyway, I remember one year our flights got delayed, so I sat next to him. We kind of knew him. I worked for NFL Network in their first year in 2002, so I got to know him a little bit. And we talked scheduling. I mean, just again, you never know who you're going to see.
Yep, no doubt about it. So we saw, let's start with, I want to hit you with a lot of things. We saw Miami come in here on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. The Dolphins were riding a 7-game winning streak. A guy that we watched a lot in college sitting here in the, you know, SEC, the heart of SEC country. And, you know, we've had people on like Trent Dilfer, who's a high school coach here in Nashville now, you know, who had worked out Tua in his passing academies and here in Nashville. And just, you know, a lot of people really seen as, you know, like this guy can do it all, and high expectations. It created the tanking for Tua, you know, for the Dolphins. And so far, and I know he had the horrific injury to end his college career, Adam, but so far it doesn't look great, and I'm not writing him off, and it didn't look great here. It was a crappy day. It rained the entire game, but what would you say right now? How would you assess Tua's career to this point? And do you believe he's going to be worthy of the pick that Miami took him?
Well, no. It's, you know, remember now, they took him over Justin Herbert, which, you know, I'd say it obviously looks like a mistake, but yeah. Not the entire league. I'll be honest with you. The league was not enamored with Herbert. No matter what people say now, it's always easy after the fact to say, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like my friends in coaching or personnel people who now like Mahomes, well, they didn't like him before that draft in 17. So I would say Tua, the word around the league is if you could just go back, you'd be a second-round pick because he's not real big physically. He doesn't have a very good arm. He's very accurate. He gets the ball out, but it doesn't happen every game. It happened a little bit last week. He makes a couple bad mistakes where you go, what were you thinking? And I know coaches who coach the position, that's what they're going to say. What did you see? Let's go back to last year because you brought up kind of where he's at. Let's not forget, not only was he benched in two games, he would have been benched in the season finale where they had to win at Buffalo where they got blown out, but Ryan Fitzpatrick was on the COVID list, so that would have been three times he was benched. That's not really, and we could blame Tua because he didn't play well in those games, but Brian Flores has never shown a ton of confidence in him. It's not a secret. I mean, in my reporting, everyone else who's done reporting on it, they were heavily involved in trying to get Deshaun Watson from the Texans. Still might next year. We'll see what happens. Or next year, we are in next year. We'll see what happens in March near the trade deadline. But the fact that they were done with Tua after year one tells you all you need to know. It's not a secret. He's just not good enough. He was overdrafted significantly. To me, it's kind of like with Andy Dalton's of the world. You kind of knew who they are. Andy Dalton's a pretty good starter for many years. Never won a playoff game, but a solid starter. I think Tua could be a sort of a middle of the road starter. But he's a smaller guy, not a great arm, and you got to have a running game. They have no running game. The NFL's worst running game. That doesn't help him, and that's on their front office. But to answer your question, to move this along here, he's been kind of what I thought he would be when he was drafted.
Hmm. Do you think this offseason, you're the perfect guy to ask, because you keep up with all this stuff, and it's great for this business, right, whenever you have what we had a couple of years ago, the big quarterback shuffle where, you know, Tom yeah. Brady ends up in Tampa and Philip Rivers yeah. ends up in the Titans division and Indianapolis and so forth and so on. Do you think there's a chance? You just threw out Deshaun Watson's name. I don't know where that's all going. Russell Wilson, you're hearing this is probably the end for his relationship with Pete Carroll. And do you think we could be in for another big quarterback shuffle or no?
Well, I'm not going to back off what I had said weeks ago, and I repeated it. I work one of the companies I work for, Sports Grid, and I said on their Pro Football Today show two Sundays ago, I said, someone's going to go. It's either Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson. We'll find out closer to March. But, you know, they severely underachieved. This team is, I know John Schneider, the GM, from talking before, he doesn't believe in rebuilding. He told me he believes in retooling. You try to win as you're trying to restock your roster. Well, remember, they gave up significant compensation for Jamal Adams. That clearly has not worked. They could say whatever they want. He's not been good enough. He never would be good enough because he's a box safety. And Pete Carroll made that call in that trade. Pete Carroll made the call on Rashad Penny. Now, the way that they'll review the Russell Wilson situation after the season, but in my reporting on this situation over the past year or so, it wasn't just that he wanted input on decisions with personnel and so forth. That was certainly part of it. But the other part is direction of the offense. Russell Wilson wants the ball to be in his hands. He wants them to win through the passing game and the offense going through him. It doesn't. Pete Carroll wants it to go through the run game, and they'll never be on the same page on that. That'll ultimately lead to their divorce. Now, getting over to, there'll be at least a half a dozen teams in on that. If they're willing to trade him, I believe in the end they will, but we're not there yet. If they're willing to do it, I believe easily a half a dozen teams or more will be in it. And then you got the Deshaun Watson thing is still fluid because from the legality standpoint, we have no idea where this thing's going to go. That one was going to be a 3-4 horse race. Let's put it this way. Philly, Carolina, and Miami would have fought it out. If he did not have the legal issues, this thing would have gone out of the wire, and they would have gotten, oh my God, they might have gotten 4 first-round picks for him. But what we have is what we have from a legal situation. We'll have to see where it goes.
Okay, Philadelphia, you're very, very familiar with that market. Jalen Hurts, are they sold? He's the guy moving forward, or would they make a trade for obviously a more established quarterback?
Yeah, they're not sold yet. They went in thinking he would look. Let's just back up for a sec. This won't take very long. 2019, June of 2019, the Eagles extend Carson Wentz's contract for several years. 9 months later, they draft Jalen Hurts. From talking to the Eagles about it, they thought he was a high-end backup. If Wentz would get hurt, which he has throughout his career, he'd be able to hold the fort down. They have to run a little bit of a different offense. He's a different style quarterback. But they wanted to upgrade their quarterback position, not spend any more money. They kept spending a lot on their backups. They wanted to get out of that. And so they never thought that they'd be trading Carson Wentz. But it was a bitter divorce. Wentz wanted out. He made it clear how badly he wanted out. The Eagles reluctantly took about $34 million in dead cap money. And it set them back in terms of their free agency. Now, who the heck knew they would be a playoff team this year? It's pretty amazing to me. But, no, they're not. They like that he's progressing. And they'll have to – look, it'll be – the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, is very involved in high-level personnel decisions. He was involved, I'm told, in the Jalen Hurts decision. I'm sure he'll be involved in this one. And they'll have to come meeting their minds sometime after they're done playing.
What side of the fence are you on? Derrick Henry is going to return – to practice today. What side of the fence are you on? And it doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday, but it's been a much debated topic here. So I'm just going to ask you, I'll frame the question this way, considering I don't think he's going to play. Do you think he needs to knock off the rust? Like, there's people, like, it's been very divided in this market. He needs to knock off the rust. He's been out, you know, for 9 weeks. He needs to get a little bit of action. Or do you believe a guy that's been out, and then if they get the one seed, they're going to get a bye? So you're talking about, you know, 3 months, Derrick Henry almost being out of there. Would you have any concern about him returning with no action in almost 3 months of being on the shelf and just going back in there in the playoffs in round two and being the same Derrick Henry? Where are you at on that?
Yeah, I'll just give you my reporting on this. I put out 2 weeks ago that the Titans thought he had a shot to start practicing week 18. It had nothing to do with the playoff ramifications. It was just about where he was from a physical standpoint because his rehab has gone so well. This Jones fracture, it's a 6 to 8 week rehab typically, but if you're a heavier guy or bigger guy, it's going to be longer. That's why, you know, that's why we are where we are. I was told pretty reliably that there was never any thought that he would play, but he's progressed so well that there's an outside chance he plays. It's so hard to put a percentage on it. And the thing is, two things here with Henry, and it's related to the other two kids who are playing. They weren't really sure to go with Deontay Foreman and Hilliard. It's been look, they've been so much better than anyone thought. Give the running backs coach credit. Give Todd Downing, OC, credit. I mean, these two kids have done such a great job, and McNichols in his third down role. It's just been great. They don't need to play him. Now, I know they'll have some revenge on their mind after what happened in the last game against the Texans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so what side of the fence am I? I would not play him personally. I don't have access to what his scans look like. I just know that it's healed really well. And I would say this, if the doctors clear him, they're going to have a very difficult decision because you could almost say at the 3 days of practice, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, a walkthrough, if the doctors clear him, why wouldn't he play? And as you just said, give him like 5 to 10 carries. But the longer you wait, the better it is from a fracture. And I just know when you – just looking, you know, I've covered this business for 21 years, as you guys know, from an injury standpoint. The heavier you are, the better you are waiting for the guy to come back. So, it's not easy for J-Rob and Vrabel. And by the way, I'm probably going to vote for Vrabel for Coach of the Year. I vote next week in two polls. I'm shocked that they have the number one seed. I got to give them credit. This has been remarkable what they've been able to do.
Okay, that's exactly where I was going, Adam. So, I'm shocked more people aren't saying Mike. I mean, considering they've rifled through more players on their roster than any in NFL history.
I know it.
And one of them was the guy who ran for 2,000 yards. He's been out since week 9 last season, and they're still the number – well, they have a chance to be the number one seed. They're going to beat Houston.
Yep.
They're going to be the one seed in the AFC. Why isn't it a slam dunk for him to be Coach of the Year?
Well, right now I would go Vrabel 1. Two, I don't know if I could put him up at two, but Mike McCarthy, other than his stupid time management stuff, it's definitely got to be up there because they've made an incredible turnaround after last year's debacle. Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, the fact that they're in with this roster, they're in the playoffs. You could say whatever you want about their schedule second half, which has been easy. But look, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat, which is important. He's got to be right up there. I would also say that Andy Reid, considering this team was so bad defensively, I do radio over there every Thursday. I've done there on WHB, and I got to tell you, Steve Spagnuolo's done a great job other than last week. But it's a tough one, but I got to give Vrabel credit. You just hit it, and I keep track of this stuff. I know from talking to Titan sources, there was a point where they'd never really have had their 11 starters on offense play this season. Julio Jones' situation has been obviously not going like they thought it would. You know about the COVID issues and the defensive injuries, and obviously offense have had it worse with COVID and injuries. To do what let's give their coaches credit. Let's give the OC down in credit, the Bowen the credit on defense. I wasn't sure where this team would go without Henry. It's just remarkable. I like you said, they're going to win this week against the Texans one way or the other because they're just too good. And I think they were embarrassed by what happened the last time, particularly at home. But they're in such a role, and their defense, folks, is bringing it right now, as you all know. Their defense has been unbelievable lately.
So last thing, Adam. So now then it becomes, all right, now you get judged on, you know, how you do in the playoffs. And, sure. You know, it's just a fact. I know people cringe, and we've talked about it already this week. And it's like people are like, stop talking about it. You know, that's the path. Well, they've been the number one seed twice. And, you know, the good news I keep telling people is they're not going to play the Ravens. And they've gone out in, you know, their first game. They've had home field throughout, and they've gone out in the first game against the Ravens twice since they've been in Nashville. They're going to be the one seed again. Overall, do you think this team is equipped to make that run again and get back to the Super Bowl?
Yes, because of Henry now. We have no idea, whenever he plays, how effective he'll be, how his timing be. You know, I worry about the offensive line. They've had so many good, almost all of them missed time this season. It's really crazy. And they're deep, but see, this is what you want. You always want to peak late in the season, and they're peaking now. I mean, let's face it, they're playing great football on both sides of football. They got they found a formula with the two young kids at running back. It's just all working out right now. They absolutely could go on a run. Now, let's face it, though, the AFC is way, way better than the NFC, and I like that they've won three of their last four. The Pittsburgh game was crazy with you know, they're up 13-0. You turn the ball over. You notice in their losses, look at the New England game where they ran all over them. It's all about turnovers. And what are you supposed to do? Just don't turn the ball over. You'll probably win. Their defense is playing great right now.
No doubt about it. Adam, always good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing this. Continued success, and we'll talk down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Adam Kaplan, NFL Insider, Sirius XM. Fox Sports Radio, he does it all, and we've always enjoyed his visits with us. The guy knows a lot of what's going on around the league. And he has a vote, by the way, and he said he would vote Mike Vrabel. But I'm just surprised you're not seeing more overwhelming Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year around the league. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe if they get the one seed and they lock it up and take care of business on Sunday against the Texans, that will be the narrative. But sit here today, I thought after the win on Sunday and Cincinnati beating Kansas City and them being in the driver's seat for the one seed and winning the division title, that you would hear a little bit more of that chatter this week, but hasn't been the case so far, but that could change. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can play Silly Underdog Picks with us. We'll be making our picks tomorrow at high noon. We'll review, make new selections. We're getting close to being done. You get to pick three games to weekly winners, tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteers Hose and Gasket. Special thanks to Adam Kaplan. Good stuff from him, as always, talking about the NFL and the Titans. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this Wednesday before the big storm, I guess, is going to hit tomorrow. I'm already seeing things closing down. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, we've done this before in this market. We just anticipate. I'm not talking about school. I'm talking about businesses. They're already saying, yeah, we're going to be closed tomorrow. I'm like, really? Like, it's sunny outside right now, and it's, I understand, like, tomorrow it's supposed to get, as somebody tweeted at me the other day, because I said Nashville weather's drunk, and he tweeted at me and said, "Well, if you think Nashville weather's drunk, wait till you see the bender it's going to be on Thursday," which was a pretty good line. But so let's talk about Mike Vrabel, who is going to speak at noon. Let's start with he's going to get asked the Bud Dupree, right? He's going to get asked the Bud Dupree questions or question. Yes. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to handle. How do you think he's going to handle the Bud Dupree questions? And do you think anything's going to come up? Do you think that's going to affect him the rest of this season? The league's not going to do anything right now, right?
I have to you know, the fact that it's on video, as we've said many, many times before, is a game changer, right? When you could see what happened. But I'll be honest, I've looked at the video. I have not broken it down frame by frame. But I don't know what exactly I'm seeing there. I could argue a lot of different things, not knowing the context of what exactly started it, what happens after the video ends. I could argue, maybe I'm seeing it wrong, I could argue that he's trying to pull people away from the fracas that's happening on the other side of the counter.
Did you?
He seems to be on the periphery.
The TMZ one. Did you see the full like minute or so?
No. No, I only saw the one that was circulated, the 10 or 12 seconds on social media. Tell me if I missed something.
Elijah, I'm going to bring Elijah in because we were talking about it last night during the breaks, during postgame. So, Elijah, you watched the TMZ clip, which was what, a little bit over a minute? I guess they probably got from Walgreens. They paid Walgreens paid somebody for the video. TMZ Sports.
About a hair over a minute. A very, very grainy surveillance footage. Definitely nowhere near as clear as the iPhone video of the 10 seconds that circulated yesterday at this time. But to me, there wasn't much of a difference other than it looks like somebody else instigated it and he went after somebody, but it was broken up very quick. That was kind of my biggest reaction to it. Like, it wasn't something that, like, Bud Dupree got out of the situation with help from people in his party there too, that he came with. He came in there with a group of people. And obviously somebody behind that counter said something to him, and then there's a verbal altercation, and then you can kind of see him like lunge a little bit. It's really hard to tell, but everybody kind of converges all in one spot, and then eventually Bud Dupree's pulled away, and then he eventually leaves the Walgreens, and then I think they come back in later.
That's probably the part that I think that's the part that's going to get him in trouble. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. It's a misdemeanor, so. The part that I don't understand is when you're somebody the status of Bud Dupree, like, why would you go back in?
See, you I didn't know that. Yeah, so he went back after that whole thing?
Yes. No. That's what it appears. No.
And that's what happened when he went back? Did something else? Was there another incident when he went back?
I think when he came back, allegedly, what you saw in the 10-second video. Because that took place at another.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that might have happened when he came back in. Because in the 10-second video, it does kind of appear as if he is de-escalating the situation.
Or trying to.
Because it kind of got out of hand after everybody kind of converges on one spot. And I think you can kind of see him in that 10-second video realize, okay, well, we've got a mess. And
is that girl with him or is that what? That was probably the most confusing part to me is I didn't know who was who. Who was with him?
Yeah.
Who was a customer? Who was the Walgreens employees?
Exactly.
That's
why I'm hesitant to really render, you know, what am I seeing here exactly. But, you know, I don't know if I can answer your question, but I do think Mike Vrabel, because there's a video, will have to be prepared for what he's going to say. Now, you know, I think the legal process is going to play out here, and we know that is going to take a while. It is a misdemeanor. It's not a felony, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong. It's, you know, it's not like he's on tape absolutely wailing away on somebody.
Correct.
Right? There's an incident for sure. And he's charged with a misdemeanor for assault. But is that, you know, let's just compare it to other videos we've seen. I mean, we've seen some nines and tens on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, not going any specifics, but we know those videos are out there. This is not a 9 or a 10. So, if I had to guess, I don't think the league is going to suspend him. I think he's going to be all right to play. He may be guilty as charged eventually, but it, you know, I, that would just be my sense of it right now. But I like I said, I only saw the 10 or 12 seconds on the one clip. I haven't even seen the full video that apparently is out there, the TMZ. Do you agree? Disagree? Am I way off base? I could be completely wrong.
I don't really know what's gonna. I don't think much is gonna come of it. I don't think it's anything they have to worry about. I guess I'll leave it at that. I don't think it's like they're gonna. I don't think they're bracing that they're gonna be missing Bud Dupree. You know, it's not like the. I don't think the league is gonna come out and suspend him for the playoffs or suspend him for a game. I don't see any of that. What you know, something may come of it in the off season, but I don't. I think overall, I don't think anything's really going to come of it.
Just a distraction, really. I think it's more just a distraction than anything else. Because the video footage isn't like I don't want to say if it's like that bad or whatever, because you can't see what goes on between the person behind the counter and Bud Dupree. Very hard to tell. When it's in the video's not in HD, it's amazing how we can get details messed up. But I think it's more so than anything just going to be a distraction. I mean, on a scale of 1 to like Kareem Hunt or you know, Ray Rice, like this is, it's very, very low on that scale.
What started it? That's where I'm, is it because the Walgreens employee identified that was him and they were videoing him? What started all this? Was he not happy with the prices? Like, I want to know what started this.
When I read Don Aaron's statement, it did in the report say it began when somebody started filming Bud Dupree on his iPhone, and that tells me very little, but that I guess is where it stems from. Now, we've seen this happen many times. You know, it's a rude thing to do, but once again, it's never good when this, something like this happens. So you'd always like to go back if you could do it over again, and you know, say, Bud, just walk away, forget it. The guy's doing what he's doing. But
well, first of all, he's not breaking any law. So, yeah, you know, if you're Bud Dupree, is it annoying? Does he not want to? That's fine. I mean, you can feel that way, but guess what? You're famous. You play in the NFL. You've signed a big contract. You've been playing in the NFL for a good while, and you live a different life than most. And so this is what you've signed up for. And I understand his feelings, but to me, like, this is just really, really bad timing for us to be – like, we shouldn't be having this discussion. If you don't like it, I get it. Get out of there. Just get out of there. Leave.
Yeah.
Like,
and the other thing that we don't know, he's with some of his friends, and for all we know, one of his friends might have gone up to the guy and said, hey, you know, can you turn off the thing? Maybe they asked nicely. Maybe they didn't. But so who knows if it was directly Bud Dupree who escalated or if it was the people around him that did, and he's caught up
even
in it.
More reason, get out.
Any different
get out
number of things could have said. Yeah, I agree. It's always easy for us to say it in the hindsight, for sure. But these things do happen.
Yeah, but you have to know that if you're
I know.
Right?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yep,
you're different than everybody else. Like you have to know that. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying you have to be okay with, you know, embracing being video. You know, you go to Walgreens to get something. I don't know why you need 10 people to go into Walgreens to get something, but whatever. That's once again, that's not breaking the law, but I don't know why you need that many people to go into Walgreens to get something on a Sunday evening. But, you know, if you do that, and if you've got all those people, then Bud, stay in the car. If you don't want to be videoed, you're Bud Dupree. I mean, you play for the Titans. I mean, I just, you have to understand that you're not just Joe Blow, and this is going to happen. Like, it's never happened before. Like in Pittsburgh, this never happened. You never went to a restaurant and had somebody bother you when you're. This is part of being famous. You're an NFL player, and oh, by the way, you signed a big, massive contract here. Like this is what comes with the territory. If you don't like it, then don't be famous.
Get out of the league. And I don't even know if it's
go do something else.
Only that. If it was only that, or something else happened that set everybody off. This is again. It's really hard to try to go back through these things. Even when you see a clip of a video, it just may not tell you the whole story here. So who knows? It could be a lot. It could be even worse than it looks on the video. It may not be as bad as it looks on the video. Whatever you think you see on the video. That's why it's hard to interpret there.
Yeah. I just think that if you're Bud Dupree in the end, no matter what, whatever happened, okay, because it's hard no matter which version of the video you've watched or both. it's still hard to truly figure out what took place. It doesn't look like that much of a big deal. I would just say, I would go back to what his head coach would say, and it's really more about on-the-field stuff, but he's also talking about off-the-field too. Don't do dumb stuff. Like, they're having, you know, they're having an unbelievable season, and they've got an opportunity to be the number one seed in the AFC, and everything is going to have to go through Nashville to get to Los Angeles. Like, don't be in the news.
Sure.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
Thank you, Mike. Don't, yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's going to, you know, hurt the team. But guess what? Now your head coach has to answer those questions, you know, and maybe your teammates will have to answer those questions. So, you know, why put everybody in that position over something like that? If you don't want to be videotaped, stay in the damn car. have the people that are with you go in and buy whatever you need to get at Walgreens. Or, you know what, if you don't like it and you insist on going in and somebody whips out their phone and starts videoing you, then just tell your group, let's go. We're out of here.
I also hope that this was a small enough incident. I hope that perhaps with some smart people talking from both sides, that this gets worked out and either there's a plea bargain, the charges are dropped in exchange for this or that. You know, you go back and say, hey, look, sorry about this. This was, I mean, I hope this doesn't get drawn out and become some big controversy here. I think there are ways that you can settle this where everybody feels like justice was done. You know, apologies. I don't know. There's a lot of, this doesn't look like anything that turned out to be crazy. I don't know the specifics of the injuries. It just sounds like some minor injuries, right?
Yeah. No, there's
Am I
no,
reading that wrong?
There's, look, nothing, there's nothing, no question.
Nobody this went is, to the hospital.
This is not the Kareem Hunt video in the hotel, right?
Yeah.
Was it Kareem? Yeah, you had the Kareem Hunt in the hotel. You also had, who am I? I'm drawing blanks on the Ravens.
Oh, Ray Rice.
Back.
Yeah.
Ray Rice.
This is not anything like that.
I'll revert back to his head coach. Don't do dumb blank, like, especially this time of year, man. Like, just walk away. Get out of there. Don't do this. Like, this, there's no reason why anybody should be talking. There's no reason why, by the way, that should be on the crawler for everybody in, you know, the world to see. Like, don't do that stuff. Like, you're an NFL player. Understand that. You're not just anybody. You're somebody that people recognize and somebody that people want to take pictures of with or want a video, and that's what you signed up for. And you signed a big fat contract to play here. Deal with that stuff. You can't tell me, Bud Dupree, that's the first time you've ever dealt with that. Are you kidding me? In Pittsburgh? You don't think in Pittsburgh, when you go out in public, the fans don't come up to, they don't recognize Steelers players? Like, give me a break. I mean, come on. Somebody said on Twitter, it means Bud will, from moving forward, will start getting his medications at CVS. Well, I don't know if it's going to change at CVS. I mean, there may be a CVS employee that'll recognize him too. You know, you just – come on, man. And once again, without knowing exactly was something inappropriate said, I don't know. I feel like that would have come out by now, that it just seems like something that it's regrettable and everybody just needs to move on. I think that's how it's going to play out, but who knows. You wanted to bring up Julio Jones. Let's start that conversation.
Okay. Are we doing this on the other side of the break? What do we have in the next
segment? We can do that
because I want to present to you my case for what I think is going to happen with Julio Jones. I have a feeling, and I will lay it out to you, and you will probably tell me I'm nuts. But we'll go from there. I think it'll be a fun conversation.
Okay, let's do that on the other side as you listen. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Boy, did you dig deep for this one?
Oh, I've had this one all year long. I've been waiting for Julio Jones to be active or for at least us to bring it up again so I can
bring this back. There's been a lot of waiting. There's been a lot of waiting on the Julio front. There has. But I'm here to give you hope.
Oh, really?
Darren, I'm here to give you hope.
Is that a fact?
Darren,
it's going to take a lot of convincing for Darren.
I'm going to hearken you guys back to Monday. And I said something to the effect with Julio Jones, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. You know, we were saying, hey, the pieces are coming together. The defense is playing well. Offensive line is back intact. You got Bud Dupree back in there. Knock on wood with this whole Walgreens thing. Derrick Henry looks like he could be coming back. Maybe we'll find something out here more definitive at noon. But I said something to the effect of, it's not too late for Julio Jones. And you and Chase went into this comic routine about, you know, throwing Darrington Evans out there and all these other things. And I'm here to tell you, Darren, I really feel that Julio Jones is going to make an impact in the postseason. Now, let me define what I think that's going to be. Do I think he's going to go out there and start catching 8 passes for 120 yards? No. But I think he is going to make some key plays at key times. I think it's not too late. That's the realistic expectation, I feel like. And if I'm in the Titans camp, that's what I'm going to try to get in Julio Jones' head, is to say, let's work towards the playoffs. You're going to get a bye. You got 2 more weeks to get that hamstring right. It's not too late. The season is just beginning. This is a Hall of Famer. Key catches at key times. I think he could make a big, big impact between now and the Super Bowl. Once again, if you're playing fantasy football for the postseason, you don't want to pick Julio Jones. I'm not saying he's going to start becoming their leading receiver, but I think he could be a very important complementary piece and give them more than he's given them. It might even be that you have to just put him in situations. But I believe that he will make some impact plays in the postseason. That's what I'm telling you. That's my vision. Wow. And I see you shaking your head.
Sold.
You're skeptical.
I'm sold. Sign me
you're
up.
Not sold.
I mean, you. Whew.
I know you're not. And that's
Elijah.
Fine.
Do we have any more of those breaking tea Julio Jones T-shirts laying around the station I can wear tomorrow? I am sold. I am ready to go. Let's go. Woo.
I just ordered
key catches at key times.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be the T-shirt. In fact, you want to make up a T-shirt, Darren?
Sign me up. Sign me up for that.
At key times.
How many touchdowns does Julio have as a member of the Tennessee Titans?
Doesn't matter.
There's one that should have started.
Let's just answer the question.
Doesn't matter.
This question brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. 0.
Doesn't matter.
You know how many catches he's averaged per
game
this season? I'll go on and tell you because you're not going to answer my questions. 1.5. He's averaging 1.5 catch per game this season. By the way, we're going into week 18, game 17 of the regular season. He's averaging 1.5 catches per game. Do you know how many yards he's averaging this season per game?
Doesn't matter.
23.5. I'll tell you because you're not going to answer it. 23.5. 23.5 yards. Now, I've said it because I own up to, you know, what we talk about for the entire offseason. I was pro bringing in Julio Jones, and I've admitted that was the wrong take. I was pro Julio Jones. I was saying, go get him. This guy's still got it, and I was wrong. And I'm not going to back off of that like, you know, a lot of people to play armchair quarterback, armchair GM, armchair everything, and hindsight GM and hindsight radio host, because we're all geniuses in hindsight once we've seen it all play out. Like, boy, that's really difficult. Geez, let me weigh in on give you a strong opinion after we've seen it all play out. Wow. Brainiac alert. No. If I could do it all over again and say it all over again, we could go back to the offseason. I'd be like, run for your life, John Robinson. Stay far, far away, John Robinson. Stay away from Julio. And I should listen to the Chris D'Aminos and the others that we trotted on the show that said, good luck. See you later, Julio. Good riddance. Should have listened to them. One, I think highly of Chris D'Amino, and there was nothing he said on these airwaves on our show that I should have said, you know what? still go for it, which I did, and I shouldn't have. And they're locked in. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
All of this is well documented.
I want you to be right. I'm rooting for Wiley Dunuke to be right. I am rooting for Will to be right. I'm rooting for Willie Donick to nail this. But you're asking me to sign up for a guy going into week 18 who's barely been available, has barely done anything. He's had one game and one half of a game. That's literally what we've seen from him this season.
Well documented.
One game and one half of a game, and that's it. And you want me to sign up for the rest of the way? Pass. I'm going to pass on that.
You're talking about the game and a half where he actually did have numbers that you might like to have in your fantasy football lineup. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I'm saying that he can still make a difference.
Be a blocker? What is his difference? What is he going to do?
Okay, I'll say it for a second time. Actually, more than two. Key catches, key times. It might only be two.
Catches, plural.
But
plural?
Yeah. I think he could make a big play in a game that is the difference in them winning or losing. I will tell you last year, what was the critical play in the Ravens game last year? There is an interception that happens at the end of the game. The Titans are driving. Ryan Tannehill has to make a decision because Corey Davis is hurt. Everybody's covering A.J. Brown. He puts the game in the hands of Khalif Raymond, who he had hardly thrown the ball to in weeks. Khalif Raymond is a nice, typical Titan overachiever who made some key catches for them while he was a Titan. But he was overpowered. Might have been pass interference, maybe not. But he was overpowered, and the Ravens intercepted him. Game over. That, to me, is the type of play I'm talking about, where Julio Jones, even at this stage of his career, where he is not what he once was, could rally and make a play like that. It might be his only catch of the game. It might be his only catch of the postseason. But Julio Jones can make a play. And that's what they need, I think, to beat a team like the Chiefs again. Or maybe, you know, whoever else they might be facing, Buffalo again, in a game that gets pretty crazy or hairy, to win the Super Bowl. And I did pick the Titans to win the Super Bowl. I'm just going to put that out there again. When we did the picks before the season, I picked the Titans to win the Super Bowl.
We recapped that. And by the way, both of us, the two of us, have nailed their record if the season would end now, like normal times, because we both said 11-5. Now, Chase is going to win it because – or 11-6.
Chase said 12-5.
Chase is going to win it because he said 12-5, and they're going to win on Sunday. So he's going to end up nailing the Titans' record 12-5. We both said 11-6. The good news is the three of us were all over it. I mean, this is what they are. It's played out the way we predicted it would play out. They would win the division, and their record is going to be pretty much spot on of what we said from before they played a game this year.
Yeah, I actually had the Colts winning the division and the Titans getting.
Oh, you're right. You did. We recapped that. I brought that out.
But I think if we take a look, what I think we were right about is the AFC is pretty deep. Whoever the seven teams end up being are all seven teams that bring something to the table. They're not like Washington last year when they got in. That just wasn't a really good team. They're a very mediocre team. These are all going to be pretty good teams that have something to work with. So you regardless of what your seed is, you got to get hot. So the number one seed, I didn't see this for the Titans, but this is a tremendous job. Plus, the story in between that we didn't know at the time is pretty remarkable how they got there. That we know that. That's a great story that they have a chance to be the one seed with all of the issues that they have overcome. You know, with Julio Jones, there's nothing that can be done. You can't go back and redo your decision like you were talking about. You can't do anything about the fact that he continues to frustrate himself and everybody else. And he just can't get right. I'm just saying it's not too late, and everything will be worthwhile if he can make some key catches that make an impact in the postseason, it means you climb to the top of the mountain. It'll be all be worthwhile. If you look back in history and say, well, wait, geez, he only averaged 23 yards a game. Like, what happened? What a bad trade. If he makes the key catches and the difference-making plays in the postseason, that's ultimately why you got Julio Jones. So you're not throwing to Khalif Raymond at the key time in the game in the playoffs.
Well, I would take an overachiever at this point. You labeled him an overachiever. I would take an overachiever over what they've got. Now, you don't trade for
their
Julio
whole team
Jones
is half of their team is overachievers.
And to pray and to say he may make a play, when he hasn't done anything to this point like that. I hope you're right, but that's not why you trade for Julio Jones. Like, everybody has deemed him Canton worthy. He's going to be a Hall of Fame receiver. The problem is, as we've seen here and they saw last year in Atlanta, that's in the past. Hall of Fame receiver is in the past. That's talking about earlier on in his career, not today. And if I knew that it was going to play out exactly like it did the last year in Atlanta, there's no way I'm signing up to go trade and to pay that kind of money and to be locked into that contract for a
guy that everybody's
hoping can make a play or two in the playoffs when they need
100%.
Like that's not why you go get Julio Jones, because in my mind, that's the equivalent of a Khalif Raymond. I mean, Khalif Raymond's an overachiever. Julio Jones is just a name at this point.
Yes,
that's it.
But Darren, I'm not arguing that. We all 100% agree on that. We know. But I'm just saying there are chapters in this story that have not been written yet. And I'm telling you, in those chapters, there will be an impact moment or two or more, hopefully, from Julio Jones. He will make an impact in the playoffs. Key catches, key times. Just remember. You heard it here.
Zero touchdowns.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that.
One and a half catch.
That's in the past. I'm looking ahead.
23 and a half yards.
Heck, I don't even know if he's playing on Sunday. He may not even play on Sunday. I'm talking about whenever they take the field in the postseason. Key catches at key times.
Hope you're right.
It's happening.
But I'm going to pass. You're selling. I'm not buying.
All right.
I hope you're right. I'm rooting for you. Tell me how it turns out. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
I'll be watching.
Oh, you'll know. You'll know. Because you'll get a text from me.
Oh, I know. I know I will. Yes. The group will get a text from you, and I'll get a text from you. You'll probably double up if that happens. All right. We will come back and start the third hour. We'll hear what the head coach has to say as they start preparing for their final game of the regular season. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.